Come on, say pray big.
Pray big.
Oh, come on, like you mean it.
Pray big.
You ready to pray big? We've been talking about that. Going to continue. But before you do, help me welcome all our different locations that are joining with us today. We're glad you're there today. Even those of you who are joining us on Facebook, thanks for joining us today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Loving Truth Ministries. And each week, I get to preach not just here, but all of our different locations and then really around the world to many of you who watch us on Facebook. We're glad you're there today. Hey, if you're close to one of our locations, don't just watch us on Facebook. Show up. We'd love to see you, love to meet you, and get to be part of what God is doing in a local location of Love and Truth Church. Love and Truth Church is about changing lives to change our world, right? And the way that we do that, three words we talk about often, that is encourage, engage, and encounter. We want to encourage every person. We want Sunday that when you leave this place that you are encouraged, you're pumped, you believe that, you know, you can charge hell with a water pistol. Right? I mean, you're just pumped. You're excited. We want you to engage with your purpose. We believe that when people find their place and their purpose, they live life with passion. And we do that through our Next Steps classes, through our Connect groups and other ways, and we'd love to get you involved in that. And then lastly, we want you to encounter His presence. And here's what we know. One moment in His presence will change your life forever. And so we really, really want you to do that, whether that's on a Sunday morning, but our Wednesday night services are really geared. That's our encounter time together as we just go after what it is that God's doing. Hey, I began last week talking to us out of this subject of pray big, so I want to continue that today. So take your Bibles, let's go to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles, or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on, or if you don't have either one of those, just look at the screens, it's going to come up. Here's what it says. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Come on, let's say that together. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. We talked about that last week, that what blessing means, the Hebrew word blessing, in fact, it's mentioned over 600 times in Scripture, that the Hebrew word for blessing means a declarative statement of favor over your life. That God Himself, now I just found that to be interesting when I looked it up, that God Himself is declaring over you your favor. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God to say that about me. Amen? That God says, you're favored. You're one of my favorite ones. Come on, I know you don't have favorite children, but God can because He's God, right? And I'm one of those favored children of God. The second part of that meaning there, according to Scripture, is that you have been endowed or you've been given the power for prosperity and success. And that's what we talked about last week. I'm not going to re-preach that. You can download it or you can listen to it online or you can get a CD as you're leaving today. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Right? How many of you are ready to see some territory gaining ground, some new things happening? That's what we're going to talk about today. And then he says, and that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And I love this last sentence. So God granted him what he requested. Here's what I know. There are some prayers that God will grant, and evidently this is one of them, and I want us to learn how to pray this prayer and how to live this out on a daily basis. So we're going to talk about enlarge. We're going to about praying big and how that each and every one of us have the ability to pray big and to move in to everything that God has for us. Now, let me say this to you. This is not a one-time prayer. It's not, Lord, oh, that you would bless me indeed, you'd enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you'd keep me from evil, that I would not cause pain. Amen. No, this is a daily prayer. It's like the Lord's Prayer. Pray this way. And he said, pray for your daily bread. So we're praying this on a daily basis. We're pushing the enemy out of our way on a daily basis. Now Jabez here, when he talks about that he's praying, Lord, enlarge my territory. I did a lot of research about this. And scholars kind of go two places with this. One of them, one of the aspects says, well, that he's probably a farmer or a herdsman. He's got cattle or sheep or whatever. And he's just saying, God, just give me more ground. Give me more land. Let me have a bigger farm. Let me have more grazing land, etc. But there were some scholars that said that when he is praying this, that it is in the middle of a time of battle. And that what Jabez is saying, that he is saying, Lord, let me defeat my enemy. Now, how many of you would like to push the enemy out of some areas of your life? You'd like, come on, anybody? You just like to push him back just a little bit, maybe not just a little bit, maybe a whole lot, and get him out of some territory in your life. That we know that Satan is a defeated foe. According to the scripture, it says that Jesus made an open show of him. But here's what the Bible says. It says that Jesus has ascended upon high, and he has sat down at the right hand of the Father, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. Well, how do we do that? Here's how we do it. Scripture says that Jesus said to the church, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the ability to bind and to loose. I give you the power to lock the door or to unlock the door. I give you the ability to go in and to take the territory from the enemy to establish my kingdom. And you're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. How many of you know God's will is being done in heaven? He said you and I are to establish his kingdom in the same way. So we're pushing back. We're saying, wait a minute. We know that the enemy keeps pushing. We know that there's all kind of tragedy that's even happened this weekend in our nation. We know all of those things are coming against us. But here's what we know. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That there is no weapon that is formed against us that is going to prosper. It doesn't mean we're not going to do some battle. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some hard times, but here's what it means, that God is on our side and we will win the victory. That's what we know today. The word enlarge there means to abundantly increase. Don't you like abundance? Does anybody like abundance besides me? I love abundance. Have you ever been to, let me ask you this way. Have you ever been to somebody's house, they invited you over to eat, and you went to the table, and you thought, who else is going to eat, because there wasn't nothing on the table? Come on, it's like 12 of you, and there's, two little pieces of meat, and a handful of salad, and a couple of baked potatoes laying there, and you're going, whoa, what's everybody else going to eat? And then I've been to other people's houses. And it's like they just lay it out. I mean, there's stuff running off the table almost. I like that place. And that's the kind of God we serve. God says, I don't want to just increase you a little bit. Lord, could you give me an inch? Could you give me half a foot? No. God says, I want to abundantly increase you. I want to give you more. And so when we pray about territory, there's a couple of aspects of territory that I think we ought to be praying about. The first part is spiritual. I think everything, for a Christian, I think everything begins with the Spirit. And so I need to pray. And let me just give you three things that I pray about. I would encourage you to put them as part of your prayer time. And that is, first of all, to pray about your relationship with God. How many of you know that this is not some legalistic thing that we're in, that you and I are in a relationship? Amen? And so I need my relationship with God to grow. Let me just ask you this. How many of you, sometimes your relationship with God's pretty good, and other days it's kind of the other way, right? You don't have to be real honest, just kind of honest. Just do this. If you're afraid to do that, just when you get in your car today, just go, uh-huh, the Lord will know what you're referring to, all right? So there's this aspect of I want my relationship right. God, make sure, help me, Lord. Help my territory expand. Let me have a greater relationship with you. Let me fall in love with you at a greater level. And you're praying those things in your life. Secondly, pray for your passion for God to grow. Lord, I want to be more passionate about you. Amen? Come on, we can be passionate about everything else. You can be passionate about football. You can be passionate about baseball. You can be passionate about your job. Why can't we be passionate about Jesus? Amen? Come on, we're getting ready to go into football season. People get crazy. Many people drive up in the parking lot, and if there's anything that's not orange on their car, they mark it out. Right? They got flags, they got banners, they got all kind of stuff. And here's the funny thing with me is, have you noticed that the most rabid college fans didn't even go to college there? It's like, did you attend it? No, but man, I'm going, really? Okay, knock yourself out. I don't care. But my deal is, if I can be that excited about UT or Memphis or, you know, Timbuktu, then I won't say the A word, Alabama. But if I can be excited about that and passionate about that, why can I not be passionate about Jesus? And so, Lord, my passion for you grow. Let it get bigger and bigger. And then thirdly, Lord, let my gifts, the gifts that God has given me, those gifts of the Spirit, we'll talk more next week when we talk about his hand being on us. But Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit operate at a higher level. Let me be plugged in and anointed and empowered by your grace and by your anointing. The second aspect, though, how many of you found out that you're not just a spirit being, but you're also a natural being? How many of you have some natural experiences? Would you look at your neighbor, if they don't have their hand up, move. Because if they're not having a natural experience, they're dead. And they've shown up here in some kind of something that I'm not really into, okay? So if they don't have their hand up, you might want to sit somewhere else next week. But anyway, the whole aspect is we're all having this natural experience. And so I need that natural experience to be everything God wants. I need it to grow. I need it to get bigger in my life. And so one of the aspects I ask is, Lord, let my influence grow, right? Let my influence grow. Let me influence more people. We talk about changing lives to change our world, and the only way that I can change somebody's life is to influence them. So, Lord, help me to influence. Help my influence to grow. Let it get bigger. We're going to get real practical here in a minute, and I'll talk how that happens. But, Lord, help my influence to grow. Secondly, help my relationships to grow. I need my relationships to be healthy. I need them to grow. I need some new people in my life. I need some other people to come alongside of me. I need to expand the territory in my relationships. Amen? And then thirdly, I need provision. I want my provision to grow. I want everything in my life. I want to be blessed financially. I want all the provision that I need. I want to be more blessed next week than I was this week. Amen? I want to have more benefits in my life. Come on. We're talking about praying big, right? We're talking about believing big, right? We're talking about seeing big. So when we talk about that, we've got to believe that God is able to show up in every area, every dimension of our life, and to bless us. And so I've got to come to that place where I'm living a successful life. You say, well, Pastor, what does it mean to be successful? I'm glad you asked. Here it is. Knowing and attaining God's goals for my life is success. What is it that God has for your life? And when you attain that, you're successful. What it is for somebody here or somebody at one of our locations is not what it may be for you, but what is it that God's goals are for your life? And it's going to have to expand. Listen, here's what I found out. All that a rut is a death chamber. It's a place that's going to destroy you if you get in. You just live life, get up, do the same thing, do the same way, go through the same. No. There needs to be some change. There needs to be some things being different in our life. Now, here's what I found out about most Christians. Most Christians want to pray and do nothing. I'm sure nobody I'm talking to, I'm talking about somebody else. Here's what we want, and I've used this term for years. We want magic, not miracles. And what I mean by that is magic is dependent on one person, and it's always an illusion. You know, watch this, I got it in this hand, that's over there, and that's gone now. It's always illusion. But one person is doing it. Miracles always involves at least two. Miracles are always God and somebody. God always says, if you will, then I will. And so what happens, though, is I see a lot of people who they want to pray this prayer. Lord, that you bless me indeed, you enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me, and that you'd keep me from evil, that I would not cause pain. But they just keep doing the same old thing the same way and expecting that God's going to do something different. He doesn't do it that way. He gives us some responsibilities, and I want to talk about if we're going to pray that prayer spiritually, if we're going to pray that prayer relationally, what is it that you and I need to be doing so that we can see it come to pass? That'd be all right? Let's get practical for just a few minutes. Here's what I've got to do. To enlarge, I must first of all commit. You know, we've been dating 33 years. Maybe commit. Maybe just go ahead and pull the trigger. I mean, one way or the other. You know, as the guy said, shoot up here amongst us and give one of us some ease. You know, either get married or get rid of each other. Come on. Uh-oh. Commit. Commit. We're going to talk about commit. We're commitment phobic in this generation, in this world. Nobody wants to, I don't want to make a commitment. No, go ahead. It's good for you. It'll be all right. It'll cost you. It'll cost you in every way imaginable. But it'll be all right. Commit. Now, what I'm going to mean, let me get I want to go somewhere, Jesus, but I won't. I've got to commit, first of all, to the abilities God gives me. See, God's given every one of us abilities, but you've got to make a commitment to those abilities. You've got to determine what it is that God's given you and then begin to use those abilities and make a commitment. I'm not just kind of phoning it in. I just kind of every once in a while. I make a commitment to the abilities that I have. So what is it in your life? What is it God's given you that you have? And you say, I want my territory enlarged. I want to be bigger. I want to make more money. I want to be used by God greater. I want my family to be anointed. I want us to have a great relationship, on and on and on. Okay, that's fine. But are you willing to commit to the abilities that God's placed in your life so that you can see that come to pass? Secondly, commit to the opportunities God gives you. Commit to the opportunity. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, let's do it this way. I have seen more people pray for more things in ways that I shake my head. Now, here's what I mean by that. Let's just use this illustration. If I want to get, there's an office right on the other side of the door here at our campus. If I want to get to that office, I can go through the wall. Y'all don't believe me. I'm not going to prove it, but I can go through the wall. Now, it's going to take a whole lot longer. It's going to make a horrendous mess, and I'm going to be pretty bloody by the time I get through it. But I can make it into that other office, or I can step over two steps and walk through the door. I see people all the time asking God for these way out crazy things way over here, and there's a huge open door right in front of them. And we're not committed to the opportunity that's right in front of us. And God says, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity. Well, it's not that big. You don't know how big it is. You don't have a clue. Well, it doesn't look big. It may not look big. It may not seem extravagant in the moment. It may not seem like the thing that's going to launch you into the next phase of whatever it is that you're believing God for. But what you've got to understand, Scripture says, little is much when God's in it. When I understand that I am to respond to the opportunity God gives me, then God can begin to bless me at a higher level. And lastly, I've got to commit. Uh-oh, this one's going to hurt us, Lord. I've got to commit to the accountability God gives me. You say, what do you mean? God puts people in your life who you need to be accountable to. In fact, let me say this to you. If you have nobody in your life that you're accountable to, you scare me. You're scary. Why? Because every one of us needs to be accountable to somebody. Somebody needs to be able, and I've said it for years, you need some people in your life that aren't impressed with you. Right? Well, I'm the bishop, prophet, most high, apostle. You need some people walking and go, yeah, but I remember you when. Right? Well, I'm the CEO and the, yeah, but you need some people who remember you when you lived on the other side of the tracks and who just walk into your office and go, hey, Bob, how you doing? Well, everybody else calls me, yeah, but I know you as. Y'all okay? See, you need some people in your life, and you need to commit yourself to being accountable. It will help you to move into the next thing. I know you're loving this, but it really is good. Secondly, the second thing that we have to do after commit is we have to change, 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 change. I've said for years, the only person that wants to be changed in a church is the baby in the nursery. Process that. Change. If you believe God's going to give you more territory, you've got to change. See, to possess more, I've got to give more. Now, I'm not talking about money. It may involve that. What I'm talking about, if you come into a business and you come in at an entry level, but you want to move to a supervisory level, I promise you, you're going to have to give more to get to the supervisory level. And if you want to move from that to being one of the, you know, CEO, CFO, COO, C whatever, you're going to have to give more. See, when you clock in at 8 o'clock and you clock out at 5 o'clock, those people that you're wanting to get to, they're having to hang there. They're having to do... Well, I want to make the same money that so-and-so makes. Well, you've got to get to the place that you are willing to give more if you want to get there. See, it's not, let me break this down to you. Everybody in our society wants to talk about what is fair. There's nothing fair. We want to get everybody fair. It's not fair for you to make $25 an hour if I'm making $10 an hour. Yes, it is. It's fair because I got the job, I worked the job, I put in the effort, and I make it happen. Now, if... I know this isn't politically correct, but I don't care. If you want to make $25 an hour or $75 an hour or $100 an hour, then why don't you start solving problems at that level and somebody will pay you if you will give just a little more. See, I'm the guy, and I've been around a while, I'm the guy who I don't want everybody to be at the same place. I don't want us to all be the same economically. I don't want us to all get the same thing. I know this goes against the grain, but just hear me. I don't want that. Why? Because I want some people way ahead of me that can challenge me, that can make me desire to do something more, and I want some people who are behind me who that I can bless them and I can do good to them, and they can be challenged to step up and to move forward and to see more happen in their life. Why is that wrong? We've got to come to this place where we understand that. So to possess more, I've got to give more. I've got to go after it. I've got to come to that place where I'm willing to go there. Secondly, to seize tomorrow, to grab a hold of tomorrow, I must forget today. The Apostle Paul, let me quote scripture, it'll make you feel better. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling. Listen, I've been to enough circuses in my life to know that if a trapeze artist is going to leave where they were and go where they had not been, they got to let go of yesterday. Some of you have got to let go of yesterday. You got to start believing tomorrow. I read a thing years ago that said only those who see the invisible can do the impossible. What is it that you're seeing that nobody else is seeing? What is it that you are believing for yourself, for your family, for those who come after you, for your business? What is it that you are saying, God, I believe that you are going to do something big in my life. I'm praying for more territory. I'm praying that you would enlarge me. I'm praying, God, that greater things are going to happen. I'm not going to sit back and just wait for somebody to hand it to me. But God, I'm going to seize tomorrow. I'm not going to wait for somebody to come along and hand me everything and say, darling, don't you want this? Wouldn't it be nice if you... No, no, no. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to grab tomorrow by the throat. I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to stomp on it and say, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. That's that passion thing I've been praying about coming out. See, we've got, I don't want, I just want to get this in your brain somehow. I don't want us just to kind of flow through life and que sera, sera, whatever. No, I want to believe God for more. I want to pray for more. I want to see more. I want some enlarged territory to begin to happen for Love and Truth churches. I want people to begin to believe for more. I want some of you to say, I'm not settling for what I had today or yesterday or last month, but I am moving into everything, and I'm believing God for more than I've ever had in my life. Enlarge my territory. See, to go places I've never been, I must do what I've never done. I got to do some different things. I got to do some things I haven't done in the past. I got to create some places that I go to that I've never gone before. I need that in my life, because if I don't, if I continue just to do the same old, there's no challenge there. There's nothing prodding me. I don't like to get complacent. I don't like to just get into that place. And when I start preaching these kind of sermons, the Lord just starts working me over, because I've never been able to be comfortable with the status quo. It's never been part of my nature or part of my character. I'm the guy who wants to change stuff. I'm the guy who wants to move stuff. I'm the guy who you know, I just walk in sometimes, but let's move that over there. Well, why? I don't know. Let's just move it. It's been sitting there for 6 months. Let's move it over there. If you notice, I'll move around the auditorium in here. I'm over here now. I'll be over here next week. I might be up there the next, you know. I might come swinging in one day on a vine. Who knows? That'd get you attention, wouldn't it? See, I got to come to that place where I'm willing to change. Let me get out of this. Let's talk about the next one. Let's talk about challenge, all right? I've got to challenge three things quickly. I've got to challenge my attitude. Anybody can be negative. Anybody can complain. Anybody can talk about why it won't happen. Here's my challenge to you. Go all week long this week and don't complain about your job. That's a challenge to you. Go all week. Now, you will have to go to the hospital after you've done that. Here's why. Your boss will have a heart attack, and you'll have to go pray and raise him up from the dead or her. You'll have to go visit him, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. But I challenge you, change your attitude. Let your attitude be positive. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's begin to believe for great things. If we're going to pray big, let's believe big. Because here's what I know. If we pray big and we believe big, we'll see big. We've got to come there. We've got to begin to let positive things come out of our mouth. Let's begin to declare. Let's do a 5-second rule. Before I open my mouth, just think. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. That's the limit of my Spanish. Just take it. Just that moment, and let something positive come out. Let's challenge our attitude. Secondly, challenge your skill set. You say, what do you mean? The reason that some of you, and let me, again, I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. The reason some of you are stuck in dead-end jobs is because you've never allowed your skill set to grow. Challenge it. You don't like where you're at? Challenge your skill set. Well, I have to go back to school. Here we go. Pastor, It'll take me 5 years to get the education I need. Okay. Well, you know how old I am? No, how old are you? 45. Okay. You go back. I've done the math. If it takes you 5 years, I've done the math, you're going to be how old? You're going to be 50. I've done the math. If you don't do it in 5 years, I did the math, you still going to be 50. Challenge your skill set. Lastly, challenge your community. So, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Some of you need to get rid of some friends. Now, you cannot use this to get rid of a mate. I told him in the first service, you can't twist pastor's word and say, well, Pastor said, I need to get rid of you. I'm like, y'all out. No. You married him. You bought in for the whole deal. I can't do anything with that, all right? But why would you hang out with people who are always negative? I mean, it's like when they walk in, the lights go off. Who was it? Pigpen or whatever in Peanuts cartoons? There's always this cloud of dirt all over. That's the way some of your friends are. And you keep inviting them in. Come on. They call you. Hey, God invented a great thing. And you can look at it and go, oh, that's Bob. I'm not talking to him. Right? You say God didn't invent it. I think he did. It saved me a lot of headache. Right? I mean, do I dare tell this? I'm going to. Do you ever see people coming down the aisle at Target and you move over? I mean, I just don't have time for the pain sometimes. It's just like, let's go this route. Let's go over here. If you're not laughing at this, you're probably the one I'm talking to. It's kind of like when you go to the family reunion and everybody's talking about the crazy uncle and you keep looking around for him. Hey, if we don't do anything else, we'll have a good time, won't we? Hey, listen, as you're enlarging your territory, here's four things I want to share with you quickly. Share your journey with those who are close to you. Don't go by yourself. You say, what do you mean? I found this early in ministry. I'd go to conferences. Sherry was working, and so she couldn't travel with me at times, and I'd go to conferences, or I'd go hear somebody, or John Maxwell, or somebody like that. I'd get all pumped up. And I'd come home, and I'm like, but she wasn't at the same place because we weren't in this together, all right? And so what has to happen is that we have to share this journey with those that are close to us. The other part of that is when you share this journey with those who are close to you, they have a way of keeping you accountable. I'm praying for something big. What are you praying for? And you tell them, and then they come back in 3 weeks, and they go, you still praying about that? Well, I did the other day. See, it's that. Secondly, learn, and I put this in, and it's hard for me to explain, but I'm gonna talk about it. Learn to recognize moments. See, I believe opportunities come in moments. They don't come in weeks and months and years. It's just like you're going and you're doing your stuff, and a moment happens. The scripture talks about two different kinds of time. There is chronos, which is like seconds, hours, minutes, days, and years. And then there is another word for time called kairos, which means, it's in those moments where God shows up. A kairos moment. It's like when Mary is in her house by herself and the angel shows up. There's an opportunity in that moment. She either accepts or she rejects what God wants to do. See, I think I have, and I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me. I think I have in my life missed moments where God said, I could have done so much more with your life if you hadn't missed that moment. Now, the good thing is he's the God of the second, the third, the 28th, the 533rd, 1,000th time. He keeps coming back. but don't miss the moment. Accept opportunities to stretch your faith. Don't stay the way you are. Let yourself be stretched. Let yourself grow. And lastly, always give God the glory. Don't ever take the glory. I love those football guys when they score a touchdown and they go. They ran the ball, but they're going, it's all to God. I love those. They make fun of them, but I love those guys. All right? Listen, if you give God the glory, then God will come back in your life and he'll give you glory. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says he'll take you from glory to glory. He will elevate you. He will take you, but you've got to give him glory all the time. So I'm giving him glory, and as I'm giving him glory, he elevates me. He enlarges my territory. So how do we pray it? It's listed there for you. Pray daily for more territory. Every day. Pray. God, I want more. I'm not settling for what I had yesterday. I thank you for yesterday, but I want more today. Secondly, pray for spiritual growth and passion. Lord, grow me. Make me more like you. Let me get passionate about the things of the Spirit. Pray also that God would enable you to make the changes that you need to make in your life. What are the changes today? What are the things today that are keeping you from seeing what it is that God wants to do in your life? And lastly, pray for more influence in your world. Because in your world, you can make a difference. You can change lives, and you can see people coming into relationship with Jesus. Now, here's what I want to share with you, and we're done. And that is this, is that it's up to you and it's up to me whether or not our territory ever gets enlarged. I can go through life in a 2x4 world, or I can stretch, I can believe, I can push. I can begin to pray just like Jabez did, oh God, that you would bless me indeed. It's not a willy-nilly prayer. It is something that he is going after with everything in him. Lord, that you would enlarge my territory. What is it today in your life that needs to be enlarged? What area? Maybe it's an area in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your walk with God. Maybe it's something that you're believing for with your business. What is it that God wants to do? But it's going to be up to you to participate in the process of believing that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that works down inside of us. And so I challenge you today, do not settle for what you had yesterday or last year. Doesn't matter how big it is, doesn't matter how great it's been. My challenge to us today is to begin to pray big. God, that you would enlarge our territory, that you would begin to give us more. Lord, that you would begin to use me more, that there would begin to be more influence in my life, that I would begin to touch more people for your kingdom, that my family would be brought into relationship with you. God, that things would begin to happen, that everybody would have to step back and say, look what God has done on behalf of that person in their life because they prayed big. That's what we're called to do.